How many of y'all know that in our life there's some things that are more important than others? Amen? I mean, that's pretty easy to figure out. Pretty easy to figure out. My life, there's been a lot of things that I've taught my children that are, you know, they're one of those things, if they do it whenever they grow up, no big deal. If they don't do it whenever they grow up, no big deal. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I mean, you know, they're in their own house now, and I taught them not to drink out of the milk jug, you know, pour it in a glass first. But hey, if they're doing that at their house, I don't even care. You know what I'm saying? Don't even care. Little flashback in there every now and then, don't even care. However, there are a list of things that I've taught my kids that are extremely important. And if they're not doing them now, I mean, I kind of cringe. Are y'all there? I taught all of my kids how to drive. And you have to understand, I grew up in the house of a state cop. And so one of my dad's duties was, is he investigated accidents. There were accidents out on the highways all the time. And I can remember one time, I was 16 years old. I just had my driver's license for a short time. And my dad asked me if I wanted to ride with him out to investigate an accident. He said, and it was reported there was an accident that had no injuries. Are y'all with me? So it was just a minor accident. And so I said, yeah. And I jumped in the car. We went out to it. And whenever we got there, we realized that the accident had been totally misreported. That it was not only an accident with injuries, but it was actually a fatality. What had happened is a man and his family had pulled off the side of the road for a little while, and it was just right at, you know, kind of almost dark, but it wasn't dark yet. Are y'all with me? I mean, you could still see fairly well outside. And whenever he was pulling back onto the highway, an oncoming semi-truck did not have his lights on, and this guy didn't see it, and so it hit this car, right, T-boned it. It hit the driver's side, and it killed the driver instantly. And his young son was actually trapped in the back seat. And this was in the days back before they had the jaws of life. And even if they had had the jaws of life, we were a poor community. And so we couldn't have bought one. So we had to pull the car apart with bars and chains and record cables. We finally extracted the young man out of there. And I'll never forget it. I'm telling you, it traumatized me, man. I'm just never had seen anything like that. The whole time we worked on this young man, his father was dead in the front seat of the car. We couldn't get him out either. And it traumatized me. I mean, I went home and I didn't sleep for a couple of nights. It was terrible. The young man actually died en route to the hospital. It took us so long to get him out. He lost so much blood, he died. So two people were killed in that accident. So whenever my kids got old enough to drive, I taught them whenever they pull out from a stop sign or a stoplight, even a stoplight. See, I don't trust people at stoplights. Okay? They might be colorblind for all I know. I tell them to look both ways, and then look both ways again, and then look both ways again. And as they start making their way out, look both ways. Are y'all with me? And you know why I taught them that? Because it's important. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I mean, you know, again, I was traumatized by this accident, and the reason that there were two people that died in that crash is because somebody missed an oncoming vehicle. Are y'all there? So this morning, I tell you that story not to, you know, upset you or tell you any of the gory things, but I really believe this morning's message is important. I believe everything that I preach in here is important because it's the Word of God. But this is one of those things, folks, that we got to get a hold of. Because I really believe sometimes out of laziness, sometimes just because we don't understand and we don't know, sometimes because of our lack of dedication to the Lord, there are some things that we miss out on. And I believe this morning's message is one of those things where we got to get a hold of this and we got to start doing this because this stuff right here is powerful. This is not just ink and paper right here I'm holding. This thing right here is a supernatural book. Amen? Supernatural. There's nothing natural about this. This is the Word of God. This is His promises to us. This is the requirements of this. This is how He's going to treat us today, tomorrow, and always. This is an amazing book here. But sometimes I think we look at it, we read it and we hear it preached, and sometimes we don't understand it, sometimes we do understand it. But folks, this morning what I want to do is I want to heighten where the Word of God belongs in our life. Does that make sense? I mean, it's just like pulling out at that stop sign. You need to look and you need to look and you need to look and you need to look again. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, just don't pull out unless you know that you know that you know that nothing's coming. Because in that moment, just that one tiny little moment where you're lackadaisical about pulling out, it could be the moment that you lose your life. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to preach this morning is actually way more important than how you look at for oncoming traffic at a stop sign. So this is Joshua chapter 1, and I want to skip all the way to verse number 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." I had a man in my office, and I'll be very honest with you today, I couldn't tell you his name, couldn't tell you really where he came from, but he came to our church for probably 2 or 3 months in Montana, and he was this small, unassuming guy, kind of sat in the back, and I had met him a couple of times, but I never really had the opportunity to speak with him. He had been a visitor, and then he was there for 2 or 3 weeks, and he called me one day at the office, and he asked me if I had time to meet with him, and I said, "Well, of course, you know, just any time, come in." And so he came into my office, and he sat down, and he began to talk to me, and as he began to talk to me, he just began to weep. He just got broken up, and he absolutely could not even make words. He was crying so hard. And so I'm sitting there, you know, man, this guy's got a major problem. I mean, to come in here really to almost a complete stranger and to sit in front of me and just weep like that, especially a man. Y'all with me? I'm feeding him Kleenexes from behind my desk, and you know, he just is sobbing. He's just sobbing uncontrollable. And whenever he finally got composure, he began to apologize for me because of the breakdown. And I said, "Hey, you know, man, it's, you know, what's happening?" And this is what he told me. He said, "Pastor," he said, "I'm so tired of being poor." Man, you know, that's, I'm thinking, there's a lot of poor people. He said, "I work every day." He said, "I almost work 7 days a week." And he said, "Sometimes I do work 7 days a week." He said, "I try to provide for my family." He said, "They're actually living in another town. I'm sending almost my complete paycheck to them." He said, "I'm living out of my pickup and the camper that I have on the back." He said, "I try to find jobs here and there." And he said, "I keep them for a little while." He said, "I get laid off." He said, "I never can get ahead." He said, "My kids are living in poverty." He said, "We're on food stamps." He said, "My kids get free school lunches." He said, I've tried to save so that I can get ahead, and it seems like every time I have a little money saved, the transmission on my truck goes out, I need new tires, or something happens. And he just began to tell me how he hated to be poor. He told me, he said, "The thing is," he said, "I haven't just been poor in my adult life." He said, "I grew up poor." He said, "I got 3 older brothers. He said, "Until I was 19 years old and in the military," he said, "I never had any new clothes ever." He said, "If I wasn't wearing hand-me-downs for my brothers," he said, "I was wearing hand-me-downs for my cousins." He said, I never had a new piece of clothing on my body ever. He said, "I joined the military," and he said, "They gave me new clothes." He said, "Man," he said, "I thought that was the greatest thing I'd ever had." He said, they smelled new. I'm sitting there listening to this story. He goes on for another 15 or 20 minutes about he's just so tired of being poor, just so tired of being broke, just so tired of always being behind. That's what he said. He said, "You know how many times we've had our electricity cut off because we couldn't afford to pay the bill?" He said, I don't use my money foolishly. He said, I just don't really have any money to use. So I'm sitting there thinking, this guy wants to hear something from me. So I referred him to the pastor across town. I'm praying under my breath. I'm saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. What do I say to this guy? What do I say to this guy? Generationally, he's been poor. His parents were obviously poor. He's poor. His kids are poor. They're probably going to grow up poor. I said, what do I say to him? The Lord spoke to me. He said, Joshua 1:8. And I'll be very honest with you. Nothing clicked in my spirit. I said, man, I don't even know what Joshua 1:8 is. So I'm pulling it up on my computer, and whenever I seen it, I said, I copied and pasted it onto a form, and I mean a document in my computer, and I printed it. I said, if you'll give me just a second, because my printer was actually in the secretary's office, which was kind of out my office, down a couple stairs, up a couple stairs. Yeah, that church was kind of weird, but anyway, my office had a window in it. But it was down here on the floor, so if I wanted to look out the window, I had to... Never mind, it's a long story. I retrieved that piece of paper, brought it into him, and I gave it to him. And I said, this is the answer that you're looking for. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I gave him that piece of paper, and I said, this is what God says. This is God saying to you, this is a formula here. He says, you'll make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. And I said, it seems like that's what you're asking for. If you're tired of being poor, this is what it says right here. You will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I told him, I said, that's the answer. You know, he looked at me really, really weird. I don't think he was there for any kind of benevolence or anything. I honestly think the man had just come to the end of his rope, and he was just tired of being poor. Now, before I go on with this message this morning, can I just suggest to you that there are other ways of being poor besides not having money? I can't tell you how many people struggle spiritually with struggles that you shouldn't have. Come on. I mean, this word is powerful, folks. That's what the word says. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. This word is capable of performing anything. You have to understand that this word right here, the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall remain forever. The Bible says that my word is forever established in heaven. Forever established. Folks, everything that you and I know, everything that you and I look at, it's going to be gone one day, but this word will remain forever. This is the word that God says in Jeremiah. He said, I watch over my word to perform it. If somebody gets a hold of my word and says, God, this is what your word says, God says, I watch for that to happen so that I can perform my word. This is what Joshua says. He says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So this morning, let's just kind of unpack this scripture for a moment. Have any of you all ever gotten a song in your head that you couldn't get out? Beauty and the Beast. I watch so many of these crazy videos with my kids over the years. And now I got grandkids, and man, we got the internet so we can go... You know, five little fruits jumping on a bed. One fell out and bumped his head. The apple called a doctor, and the doctor said, no more fruits jumping on the bed. Okay. I think that's Nora's favorite song. But have you ever got that song stuck in your head that no matter what you did, you just couldn't get it out of your head? You ever been there? I mean, that commercial that you watched on TV that's got that little jingle, you know, that little snappy jingle that you just went around just whistling it, driving down the road, nobody's there in the car with you, and you just bust down, start singing it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, whenever Renee and I grew up, we were products of the 70s. That's disco. That's the Bee Gees. Staying alive. Oh. We've all had it. We've all been subject to that at one time or another in our lives, where it's just stuck. It's just stuck there. And you don't want it there, maybe, but it's stuck there. Now, let me just ask you, wouldn't it be great if the thing that you got stuck in your head was God's word? I mean, God's word. Just think, if it was stuck in your head like, still alive. You gotta know when to fold them. Know when to hold them. I mean, but what if you got God's word stuck in your head? I mean, the pleasant, encouraging, strengthening word of God stuck in your head. That you just, everywhere you went that day, it's just a word just rolling over and over and over. You know, one of the things that the word of God does for us, it sometimes is so easily overlooked. It's not only pleasant, it's not only encouraging, it not only strengthens us, but God's word keeps us from sin. This morning, I'm going to tell you, I'm not preaching anything about reading God's word. I want to go past that. I think everybody should read God's word, because reading God's word is good. And I would tell you this, memorizing God's word is really good too. But this morning, I'm not even going to stop there. You see, I'm going to where it talks about in Joshua. It says to meditate on it day and night. That's just like getting one of those songs stuck in your head over and over and over. You hear the theme song to Frozen. We got that. Annie brought that video to our house one time when we were keeping her, and she just wanted to watch it over. But what if you got God's word stuck in your head? I can tell you this, it's probably not going to get stuck in your head from just reading it. It probably could get stuck in your head from memorizing it. But what we need to do with God's word is we need to meditate on his word. See, God has commanded us to meditate on his word. It says, meditate on my word day and night. And so this morning, we've got to understand what meditation means. In the Hebrew, this word translated meditate, it literally means this, to mutter. To mutter. You know what mutter means? Hello, mutter. Hello, mutter. No, wrong kind of mutter. Muttering is what you do usually whenever you're by yourself. And it's talking to yourself. My wife has asked me before. I'll be in the kitchen. She's like in the living room. And whenever I come out of the kitchen into the living room, she says, who are you talking to? Caleb came home from work just for a minute. Went back. Oh, come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm in the kitchen doing something. I go, oh, man, you know, I'm just talking to myself. That's muttering. That's just kind of, you know, under your breath, kind of, you know, you're muttering to yourself. Have you ever had somebody like short you order of French fries in your Happy Meal? And whenever you're down the road already and it's too late to turn back, you know what I'm saying? And you reach in the bag and there's no French fries in there, and that's whenever you mutter. Stupid people at McDonald's that can't even get an order right. What is the matter with them? They hire the best and the most competent teenagers that they can possibly find. And they can't even get my order right. Get my order. That's muttering. Cut me off, will you? I'll show you. I'll run my car right up your bumper. I got to give you a few examples because that's what it is. The Hebrew word means to mutter. When one continually mutters God's word to himself, he is constantly thinking about it. You guys got it? I mean, if you're there and you're muttering God's word, you're talking about it. To meditate on God's word is to slowly and reverently repeat the word of God to yourself. See, a great song for you to get stuck in your head is, because he's a good, good father. And I'm loved by him. That's who I am. I'm loved by him. See, that may not be an exact scripture, but I'll tell you what, that's the word of God. And so to go around, that's why I like so many songs that are actually written to scripture. I mean, back in the 80s in the Charismatic Renewal Movement, one of the things that happened there is, man, they just took the Bible and put music to the Bible. I mean, so many songs we sing were written from the Bible. They just took a psalm and they just put some music to it and we sang it back. That's muttering. Are y'all with me? It's just speaking the word of God to yourself. Meditation involves reflecting on God's word and the ways of applying his word to our life. I mean, heaven's sake, whenever you start studying Philippians and that word gets in you, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Maybe you're one of those individuals that goes away and you may not have great self-esteem. Maybe you don't have a lot of self-confidence. Maybe you don't think you can do what it is that God has called you to do. Mutter his word back to it. Y'all there? You get up and you're challenged by something and you go, man, there's just no way I can get this done. You just got to say, man, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is what it says in Philippians chapter 4. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it. I can do this, for heaven's sake. I got the power of the living God inside of me. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in me. I know I'm muttering a little bit louder than probably you would mutter. God tells us in Joshua that you should meditate. And this doesn't sound like an option to me. It's a command to meditate on the word of God. He's saying, Joshua, listen to me. All the people that are standing around Joshua, listen to me. This is important. Folks, it's kind of like this. There's got to come a time in our life whenever we're just tired of being poor. If you're tired of having your teeth kicked down your throat every time you turn around by the devil, and he does it, then you need to get a hold of the word of God. You need to start saying it back to you. You need to start muttering around. Meditate on the word of God. He tells us the word, it shall not depart from our mouths. In other words, you should sound like a broken record. And some of the kids are going, what's that? But all of you that are like 50 and above, you know what I'm talking about. Because you've had that broken record where it was skipping. Anybody ever tape a nickel to your phonograph player so that it wouldn't skip as bad? Somebody, I don't know what you're talking about. Put a nickel on that little arm and tape it down so there's more weight on it so that if you do have a scratch on your record, it won't skip. Because, man, it's bad whenever it skips in the, you know, oh, never mind. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm a Bee Gees lover. Not really. See, this morning I believe it's not enough just to read this word and then forget about it on the minute or two after you read it. Because I've been guilty of that. I used to set my sights on reading the Bible through twice a year, man. And I'm telling you, do you know why I set my sights on reading the Bible through twice a year? Because I love check marks. I do, man. I do. I love check marks. I love them. And I'd get on these Bible reading plans that you had to put a little check mark next to it whenever you read it. And then, man, later on, I had a computer that put a check mark on it next to it. I love my computer, man. Every morning I'd get up, my computer would have what I needed to read for the day. I'd read it, put a check mark, and I'd pat myself on the back. I said, man, you are a good Christian. Look at all the times you've read the Bible through in your Christian life. But folks, I'll be honest with you, I'm not reading the Bible through anymore. Because I think sometimes I would read. Can I tell you this? Will you promise not to tell anybody? Okay, good. I would read sometimes for 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes. I mean, read the Bible. I'm reading, though. I would leave, go about my day, and about 30 minutes into my day, I would say, what was it that I was reading this morning? What book was it? Was I reading in the New Testament or the Old Testament? Come on, anybody understand what I'm saying? I mean, it was just gone. I couldn't even remember what it was. See, so that's this morning. I'm not talking about reading it and then going away and forgetting it. You see, in order for God's word to take root in our lives, we've got to make it part of our lives. In James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, this is what it says. It says, but if you keep looking into God's perfect law, the law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you doing it. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? He says, listen, man, if you're looking into the law of God, if you're looking into the word of God, and he says, if you remember what it says, if you remember what it says, you don't just read it and forget it. It says, then God will bless you while you're doing it. Folks, I promise you, I think sometimes kids are not being completely truthful with us whenever they say this. But as a parent, I've given my kids a list of things they need to do before I get home. Yes? And whenever I come home, I go, I noticed you didn't do that. And they go, I completely forgot, Dad. Sorry. I used to think that just, there was no way you could forget. Because see, I had a good memory. And sometimes I used to think my kids were just kind of pulling my leg. You know, because I couldn't prove they, I was not, have access to a lie detector or anything. But it'd be cool if I could strap them to it. Come in the lie detector room. We're going to see whether or not you forgot that. No, Dad, I honestly forgot it. We'll see. Sometimes I think they can actually forget it. And see, if you forget God's word, then how in the world would you ever know to do it? One of the best ways that someone becomes a doer of God's word is to meditate on that word. This is what his word says, and I'm going to do it. Now, I don't want anybody to get crazy on me here, but there's a disorder out there, and it's called OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. And indeed, it affects a lot of people. Some people wash their hands a lot. Some people turn light switches on and off a lot. And there's all kinds of ways that it affects humanity. But folks, this morning, I'm saying to us, that's kind of where we need to be with the Word of God. We need to be obsessed with the Word of God. That this stuff's got to get in me, because this is what I'm saying to you. Has it come time in your life that you're tired of being poor? And some of you go, I got money. Well, I'm glad. Give me some. So anyway, that's not necessarily what I'm talking about. Some of us are poor spiritually. Some of us are poor physically. Some of us are poor emotionally. Are y'all with me? Folks, this is the Word of God is effective regardless of what it is that's in our life, that we might be poor in a certain area. I want to tell you, God can infuse joy into your life if you're poor as far as joy is concerned. If you don't have enough love in your life, if you've grown up, I read a letter not very long ago that was addressed to a mother, and it was a thank you letter to a mother. And this young lady went into thanking her mother for all of the abuse that she gave her mother. It was totally different than what I expected it to be. She said, thank you for the bruises on my legs where you hit me with a buckle that was on the belt. Thank you for the times that you pulled my hair. And she went into all of this where she had been abused. She said, thank you for all the times that you never said you loved me. And folks, we all grew up in different households. We all grew up in different families. But maybe love is something you just don't have a lot of in your house. Maybe it didn't happen to you whenever you were young. Maybe it doesn't happen to you now that you're an adult. I don't know, but I'm telling you that God can infuse love into your life. If you're tired, if you're poor, and you say, listen, God, I am so poor as far as love is concerned. I don't ever hear those words. I don't ever feel that embrace of love in my life. I want more love. I'm telling you, the Word of God will transform your life if you'll get it in you. But you're not going to get it in you just reading it. I really believe this. I don't think you're going to get it in you just memorizing. I think there's got to come a time where it's just over and over in your life, obsessive, compulsive with the Word of God. I mean, we do it all the time with stuff. We get a hobby and we're almost obsessive, compulsive with it to begin with. I'm going to learn how to play golf. And so you're at the golf course 5 times a week. I remember that time in my life. I came to a point one time where my wife just said, listen, it's me or the golf course. I was playing all the time. I mean, I was just playing all the time. My brother owned a golf cart. And my brother loved to play golf as much as I did. So, man, I'd come in off 3 o'clock. Excuse me. Before 3 o'clock, I'd go play golf. I'd just go straight from the golf course to work. I'd come in off of graveyards. I would go play golf after graveyards. I wouldn't even sleep. Or I would sleep at work and then go play. Well, it was okay. I was a troubleshooter. My boss knew it. If there wasn't anything broke, you can't fix it. My wife, one time, she told me. She said, it's me or the golf course. So I went outside. I broke every golf club in my bag. I said, fine, you don't want me playing golf? Bing! It's amazing how easy those things break. I broke them all, threw them in the trash barrel. She's probably in the house going, you are such an idiot. That's not what I wanted. Then I didn't play golf for about 10 years. I was obsessive, compulsive with golf. God's calling for us to do the same thing with His Word. He's saying, guys, if you have this obsession with My Word, it will change your lives. So we need to become obsessed with God's Word, and this is the reason. So that we can do what it says to do. In Joshua, it says that you may observe what's been written. One of the benefits of meditating on the Word of God is that it helps us be obedient to His Word. Folks, let me just tell you something. That's whenever I get in the most trouble, is whenever I don't do what God's Word says to do. That's whenever I taste shoe leather most often, is whenever I don't do what God's Word says to do. Are y'all with me? Has anybody ever tasted shoe leather besides me? And now I know they got those neoprene soles, and they actually taste better than the old leather stuff. But I'm telling you, I've put my foot in my mouth so many times, and whenever I do, I go, oh man, if I would have just spoke like the Word tells me to speak. Are y'all there? That we may observe what it says to do, so that we can do what it says to do. So that we might observe and to do all that is written in it. You see, if you and I are meditating on the Word of God, meditating in the Word of God, and the Word is constantly on our mind and in our mouth, it's going to keep us from sin. Folks, this is a great way to protect ourselves from sin. I told my kids whenever I was teaching them to drive, I'd pull up to a stop sign and say, man, you look both ways, look both ways. Let me tell you what that'll do. It'll protect you from ever getting in a wreck. Well, not that kind of wreck anyway, because some knucklehead might do something different to you. I taught him to be a defensive driver. I said, man, if anybody ever pulls up to a stop sign and they're fixing to merge onto where you're at, I said, don't ever trust them that they've seen you. Don't ever trust them. I said, man, you just go by them looking at them. Give them the snake eye. I don't trust you. I don't trust you. I taught him to be a very defensive driver. You see, that's what this does. Whenever we meditate on the Word of God, it protects us from sin. In Psalm 119, verses 15 and 16, it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. You see, we can keep ourselves from stumbling into sin by meditating on God's word. got to meditate on it. It's got to be that thing that is stuck in us over and over and over. We hear it. It's going in our minds because that's what causes us to be obedient to it. If we're meditating on the Word of God, then the lies of the enemy is not going to have any kind of effect on us. We're meditating on God's Word, the lies of the enemy are not going to have any effect on us. Because the truth is going to be so embedded on the inside of us. See, there's some things that you guys, you could never argue me off of my position. If you came to me and said, you know what, Pastor? I read in a magazine. It's on the internet, so I know it's true. You can be saved by the name of Buddha. So are you on crack? Did your mom drop you on your head? What's the deal? And I mean, you could bring me all kinds of statistical facts and figures and everything, and you are never going to change my mind. There is one way only, and his name is Jesus Christ. No man comes to the Father but by him. Period. You're not going to change my mind. Do you know how I came to that conclusion? I came to that conclusion because of this word right here. That's the reason. It wasn't because some preacher told me. It was because I seen it on TV. It's because this word got in my spirit. Are y'all with me? I meditated on this word over and over and over. So thus it is settled. Jesus is the only way. Period. End of discussion. However, there might be something you come to me and say, hey, Pastor, I notice you driving a Toyota. They're junk. You might have a little wiggle room there. You can say, Chevy is the way to go. And I go, Ford, maybe Dodge. I don't know. Are y'all with me? My mom, as I told you many times, she was a disciplinarian in her home. She whooped us all. She used very little discretion whenever she whooped us. She just whooped us. If we looked guilty, she whooped us. My mom had the Board of Education. Oh, you may tell you about a happy day in my life one time. This was an awesome day. My brother, psychotic as he was, In a VOAG class, he made the Board of Education. He made it. Brought it home. Hey, Mom, I made you a new board so you could whoop us with it. I love you, son. Come here. Gee. Me and my other brother are saying, man, what is wrong with you? Back then, there was no such thing as crack. So we said, man, you are smoking marijuana. How could you ever do that? My mom used that board on me almost every day. We had an old wood stove that you had to feed the wood from the top. And you know, my mom was one that she was one of those people that, you know, necessity meant, you know, find any way you possibly can to get it fixed. And she was trying to put a piece of wood down in that stove and it didn't go. It was hung up at the top and she went and got the board and she starts whacking that piece of wood. The board was a 1x4 piece of oak. 1x4. A 1x4. Had a handle all carved in it that my brother put in there. And then he put these words on there, Board of Education on it. And, oh. Now do you know why I don't ever talk to my brother? My mom is whacking this piece of wood down in the... Whack, whack, whack. And all of a sudden the Board of Education broke. Splinters went everywhere. A piece of it flipped over in the floor. And I said, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It was awesome. I guess it wasn't as big a thing to you as it was to me. She later that day took that same board and put it in the stove and burnt it. I thought I was free, never again to be punished. She made herself another one. This time it was out of pine, though. She didn't do it out of oak. You know, if my mom was standing there with a board in her hand, that was a very good deterrent for me from doing anything wrong. You know what I'm saying? If mom was there with the board and I wanted to do something wrong, seeing that board, I love you, mother. Look at my angelic face. But whenever my mom was out of sight, no more angelic face. You see, that's pretty much where I did everything wrong, is whenever my mom was out of sight. Y'all with me? She didn't even catch me very often doing things in her sight. She'd always say, "Did you do that? I heard you did that. Your brother said you did it." Yeah, he built a board too. That's why I don't like him. See, whenever the Word of God is in our minds and we're meditating on it, it's just like my mom being standing there with the board. And please don't misunderstand this. I'm not talking about God standing there. I'm fixing to whoop you. That's not what I'm saying. The Word is a deterrent. Whenever it's in our spirit, whenever it's in our minds, it is a deterrent. Meditating on the Word of God keeps us from sin. Let me tell you one more thing it does. It brings blessing to us. That's where I believe the Holy Spirit was taking this man that was in my office. "Pastor, I'm just tired of being poor. I'm tired of being poor." It says here in Joshua that it make your way prosperous. Anybody ever have a prosperous day? Anybody ever have a prosperous day? I remember one time I was about 13 years old and I wanted to make my own money. And I heard that there was a job opening at a concrete ready mix plant. And I thought, how hard can concrete be to pour? So I went, rode my bicycle out to his house, which is a long way. It's probably about 3 miles from our house. It's a country road. Got there, knocked on the door. It's a double-wide mobile home. He comes to the door, and he's in his socks. I'll never forget that. Pair of white socks, jeans, and no shirt. What do you want, Watson? I said, "I want to go to work for you." He said, "You're too skinny." That's exactly what he told me. Said, "You're too skinny." I said, "Yeah, but I said I'm strong." "You're too skinny. I don't want you working for me." And then I reminded him, his oldest son that worked for him, which was a couple of years older than me, and I said, his oldest son's name was Poogie. I said, "Poogie is skinny as I am." "Yeah, he's too skinny too, but he's my son." He said, "I don't know. I'll get back to you." A couple of days later, I'm leaving school, walking home. He comes driving up to me. He's got three big St. Bernard dogs in the back of his truck. He says, "Get in, I'll give you a ride." This is back whenever you could trust people, you know, so I got in. He's taking me down the road. He said, "I'll give you that job. $2.25 an hour is what you start at." He let me out of my house. I thought I had won the lottery, even though I didn't even know what that was. I mean, I was so happy. $2.25 an hour. And you know what? About 6 months later, he gave me a raise to $2.75 an hour. I mean, man, I'm telling you, I've hit the jackpot a few times in my life. I found out that pouring concrete wasn't nearly as easy as it looked. But I did that for about 5 years. Worked for him almost full time during the summer times. See, God wants to make your way prosperous. He wants to give you every day where you just rejoice in the blessing that's coming your way. A few days ago, I had the opportunity to listen to a man that was praying for a financial blessing for a university that he was president of. The university was run down. It was tattered. They didn't have no money. Nobody wanted to put any in it because it was just a junk pile. And anyway, long story short, he was just praying for this university. And he said that through a series of events, a man mailed him a check in the mail. Okay, he didn't tell him how much his check was for. He just mailed him a check in the mail. Now, are you ready for this? Envelopes comes in the mail. It's just a regular one of those little envelopes. And you know how you do checks so that nobody will see your check? You wrap it up in paper, you know, so that nobody can hold it up to the light and go, oh, this is a check. It's happy birthday. I'm spending this thing. You wrap it up in paper. It wasn't even wrapped up in paper. It was just an envelope with that check on the inside. And it was one of these little checks. Are y'all with me? I mean, a little check like that you have in your checkbook. It wasn't even a business check. And the guy said he opened the envelope up, and it was a check for $10 million. $10 million. See, my kids have actually written checks for $10 million on old checking accounts I had. But they weren't any good. Are y'all with me? In fact, they could write a check now on a checking account that's active in my house. This still wouldn't be good. So $10 million check, and he's just like blown away by it. He folds it up. He puts it in his pocket, and he says to his wife, you know, he said, man, again, she says, listen, man, you need to get that down to the financial college. Get that thing in the bank right now. He said, I'm carrying it around in my pocket for a few days. She says, no, you need to take it down there and put it in. He said, no. He said, I'm just going to carry this around in my pocket for a few days and hope it has babies. $10 million. Over this man's lifetimes, he's raised hundreds of millions of dollars for different organizations that he's been a part of. Hundreds of millions of dollars. Because I want to tell you something. God wants to make your way prosperous. He does not want you poor. I mean, for heaven's sake, folks, it looks bad for your kids to be poor. It looks bad for your kids to have nothing whenever you have everything. Are y'all with me? You see, those people who know and those people who obey the Word of God, the law that God has set for us, they'll be prosperous. They'll be successful. In all they possess, because he'll give you the wisdom to live rightly. He'll give you the wisdom to achieve your goals. God is able. A dear friend of mine was coming up to retirement, and he really just didn't have any retirement. He had never put money in the bank for retirement. Y'all with me? And so he was, you know, he said, hey, God, I've got Social Security, and that's pretty much it. And I'm right there at that retirement age. He was praying about it one day. Because God wants to make our way prosperous. Are y'all with me? A lady that was in his church came up to him and said, I don't know. I just believe this is what God wants me to do. She said, I'm putting $1 million in the bank for you. And he said right away, he said, I could not believe this woman had $1 million to put in the bank for anybody. But she had several million dollars she could have put in the bank for him. She said, I'm going to put $1 million in the bank for you. And from the time you retire until you die, you live off the interest of that money. Whenever you die, that $1 million will revert back to my estate. But in the meantime, you can live off of that money. So I've been looking at all the ladies in the church here thinking. See, one of the things about being prosperous, being successful, is dependent upon knowing the right thing to do. And that's what God's Word does. It steers us so as that we know the right thing to do. There's nowhere in life that you're going to get more practical advice than in the Word of God. That's why I believe the strong financial curriculum is so incredibly powerful. Because it teaches what the Word says about finances. Can I just tell you this? I was teaching Crown Financial before Crown Financial, I even knew anything about it. Are y'all with me? I know Larry Gerkett had been around for a long time, but it's just an introduction that I had never made. And so I taught the principles of living biblically as far as the way we conduct our finances. And if you do not meditate on the Word of God, if you do not know what it says, then you don't know what to do with your money whenever it comes time to do things with your money. This is Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates, what does it say, day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, or the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Are you listening to what it says about the word here? Those who seek to live under God's blessing, they meditate on God's word in order to shape their thinking, in order to shape their attitudes, in order to shape their actions. A tree planted by the water always has everything that it needs. In New Mexico, one of the driest places on the face of the earth is southeastern New Mexico, Carlsbad, New Mexico, where my wife grew up. Her father was a farmer there, a welder, a mine mechanic. But right outside of their yard, they had this monster tree. It was a sycamore. Y'all know what a sycamore is? A sycamore tree. I had never even seen a sycamore tree till I went there, and then I found out Zacchaeus climbed up a sycamore tree. I'm saying, man, Zacchaeus, little man, you climbed up that tree. That's a long ways to get that branch you can sit on. This tree was monstrous, and it was out in the middle of nothing. It was a desert of southeastern New Mexico. You know why it got so big? Because it was planted right next to the irrigation ditch. And every time they run water down that irrigation ditch, that tree would suck all the water up. You plant that tree anywhere else in southeastern New Mexico besides next to an irrigation ditch, and I'll tell you what you'll find a few months after you plant it. You'll find a little twig that's all dried out. A tree planted by water has everything that it needs. A tree that is planted by the water never dries up. A tree that's planted by the water never has worries about the hot sun because there's water right there to cool itself. If you want to be like that tree, I believe with everything that's in me, you've got to be someone who meditates on the Word of God. And this is what I'll tell you. You may never come to a point to where you will be successful in the eyes of the world. You with me? Whenever you die, somebody might come to your funeral and go, man, whew, that guy was successful. Millions and millions of dollars. Money everywhere. Huge house. I told somebody one time that my wife and I had our summer home was in Highlands. They believe me. They have a home. You have a home in Highlands? I said, yeah. I got one on Skeener, too. I told them the truth several months later, but I rented it to them twice. No, never mind. I'm sorry. I mean, you may not have that second home. You may not have that third home. You may not have five-car garage. Are y'all with me? You may not be a success in the eyes of the world, but I will tell you this. If you meditate on the law of God, you get it inside of you, and it is what operates your life, is that word. You live by its principles. You think by its principles. You do by its principles. This is what I'll tell you. You will be a success in God's eyes, and I'll tell you this. That's the eyes you need to be a success in, is the eyes of God. Jared, if you'll come this morning and help me close this, or Amanda, or whoever, Jared, okay, I'm confused sometimes. This morning, folks, this is simple. If you want the blessings of God in your life, if you want the blessings of God upon your life, then I believe with all that is in me, because of the scriptural evidence that we have even read this morning, and believe me, there is so much more in this word that I could have read to you this morning. But Joshua 1:8 is such a perfect scripture. Meditate on it day and night. If you want the blessings of God, you need to meditate on the promises of God.